Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to learn this evening as we prepare for Chag HaPesach, Zman Cheruseinu. I believe this is the sixth year that we've had the Haggadah highlight shir. So you're getting tonight is the sixth best section of Divrei Torah. You can go back and maybe I'll send out the link to the previous ones, but hopefully we'll have some new, interesting, and uplifting Divrei Torah this evening. Every year I try to buy a few new Haggados, or at least new that I don't have, and I bought a few this year. I'm quoting from a bunch of places, the two primary Haggados that I used this year, one is the Haggadah Shel Pesach, a big, thick sefer called Maisa Avos, which is the Haggadah of the Talmud Rebbe of Yerushalayim. I was privileged in January when we were in Eretz Yisrael to meet with the Talmud Rebbe, who speaks English. A brilliant Talmud Chacham, a Pikeach, and he has a real nice blend, mix of Chasidus and, I guess, what I would call classical Divrei Torah. So we'll be quoting from there. And then I borrowed from Avi Tobias, also a very thick sefer, called Eish Tamid, which is the Haggadah of Rav Druck. Rav Druck that a lot of people here had a relationship. His son is of Yisrael Meir Druck, who's a big Talmud Chacham alive today in Eretz Yisrael. They've been pumping out multiple Svarim every year called Eish Tamid. There's on Chumash, there's one on Megillas Esther, there's a Haggadah, there's on Davening, a whole volume just on Tefillas HaShachar. His Torah is also delicious, and we learned a couple of other from a couple of other Svarim as well. One other point of introduction, everyone likes different Divrei Torah. Some like more pshat-based, some like drush, some like fancier, some like more halachic. So we'll try to mix like a smorgasbord. Some people like the carving station, some people like the sushi, some people like the vegetables, I guess. So we'll try to have a little bit of everything this evening. We'll go in order and then at some point break with some more themed Divrei Torah. So we know at the Seder, there's a minhag. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. We have an egg. There's an egg on the Ka'ara. And we also, many have the custom of eating an egg at the Suda during Shulchan Aruch. They're both in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Nogin b'ktsas mekomos lechol b'suda beitzim zecher la'avelos. Now it's interesting. Why do we have a zecher to Avelus? It's Yontif. It's Zman, Sukkos is Zman Sukkoseinu, but there's V'samachta B'chagecha. Why do we have an egg? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, V'nir li atam, Mishum Shalel Tishabav Nikba B'Lel Pesach. Always the first day of Pesach is the same day of the week as Tishabav. So this coming year, Tishabav is the Thursday. It's the last Thursday in July. It's because this Atbash system, the first day of Pesach, always falls out the same day as Tishra. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah, and that's why there's a minhag of many to have an egg. And it's interesting. Why are we focusing or highlighting? You're right, the first day of the Pesach falls out of the first day of Tishra. Why is that significant? And why are we mentioning Avelos, a Churban Beis HaMikdash, on Pesach? Is it just because we like to suffer as Jews, and we're always relating back to our suffering? What's pshat? So in previous years, we said a couple of different pshatim. Rav Meir Shapiro, Chachmei Lublin, I think we quoted this 2 years ago, he says that the Klal Yisrael is like an egg. The longer you cook an egg, the harder it gets. Klal Yisrael, we've been cooked. We've been persecuted. We've been beaten. I mean, we could talk for hours about all the persecution and, so to speak, the cooking of hatred that we've endured. And look how strong we are. With all of our problems, we're as strong as we've ever been. That's Rav Meir Shapiro. There are many, many explanations. I saw a beautiful idea in a different Haggadah of Kluger, who's a Talmud Chacham in Beit Shemesh today. He says that it's very interesting. In Yirmiyahu, in Perek Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu, Haloch v'karasa ba'aznei Yerushalayim le'mor. Go tell the people in Yerushalayim. This is on the heels, The Kaddish was about to be kicked out of Yerushalayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu, go tell the people, Ko Amar Hashem, Zacharti Lach Chesed Nuraich. We know the Pasuk, it's in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Zacharti Lach, Rosh Hashanah, Zacharti, and Yom Kippur, Zacharti Lach Chesed Nuraich, Ahavas Kul Yosayach, I'm gonna remember the Chesed that you did, Kaddish Yisrael. What's that Chesed? Lech Teich Acharai Bamidbar. Kaddish Yisrael, you're incredible, you followed me, to Be'eretz Lo Zerua. And he asks, why did Hashem, as he's about to kick Klal Yisrael out of the land of Israel and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, why did he speak to him in such a loving, endearing way? Zacharti lach chesed nirayach. I'm going to remember the great thing that you did. He's punishing them. That now's the time to speak more sternly, harshly. So Rav Kluger says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying is that, I have to do what I have to do. I have to kick you out. Melech b'mishpat yamid eretz. I have to do this. You sinned. And there's judgment, there's mishpat, there's din, but I'm never going to forget what you've done. The love that I have for you, Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Teich Acher HaMidbar, you followed me into the desert, there's such a love, that's what's going to carry you through Galus. So at the time of this great Simcha that we're celebrating, the Geula, we remember this love that occurred even during times of pain, because undoubtedly there will be times of suffering during the year, and we always want to remember that Lech Teich Acharai Bamidbar, even during the difficult times. So at the time of Simcha on Pesach, we remember the egg, the Avelis, the Churban, but not the Churban, the love of the Kadosh Baruch Hu showed us during the Churban. That's an explanation for the egg. Second idea I saw, which is a chiddush to me, I never seen this before, is the Zroah. What's the Zroa? The shank bone? Now, what do people use? I didn't know. I asked my wife. Often it's, she said, whatever they sell in the store. Zroa really literally means what? The arm. So why do we take a Zroa? It's there as Zecher for the Korban Pesach. But why a Zroa? So the Torah says it's to hint to the Zroa Netuya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, a Zroa Netuya, with this, whatever exactly that means, a strong arm. There's a lot of references to a yad chazaka, Zroa Netuya. We say in the very beginning, Avadim Ayinu B'Parlo Mitzrayim, V'yotzienu Hashem L'kenu Misham B'yad Chazaka U'V'Zroa Netuya. So we hint to the Zroa. Rav Druk says something so beautiful. What else are we hinting to with the Zroa? The Gemara in Sota tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was put into the water, Bas Paro, Basya, or Bisya, was standing by the water, and it was too, Moshe Rabbeinu, the table was too far from where she was standing, and she stretched her arm out, and we all know the miracle happened, and her arm was able to stretch much further than it should have otherwise been able to stretch, and she was able to pull in Moshe Rabbeinu. So he points out that it's very difficult. What was she thinking? What was she hoping for? She thought that a miracle would happen? I'm standing over here. The edge of the water is 20 feet away, however many feet it was. Why'd she even think to put her hand out? There was no chance she was going to reach. It's a great question. I never thought about this. What was going through her mind? If you're going to jump in, you're going to jump in. She's going to reach. It's silly. You don't reach halfway across the ocean. You can't grab onto anything. So he says that from here, the Bali Musar explained that a Jew has to do what they can do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no tainas, so to speak, on us. If we've done our part, Hashem, I tried. I'm showing that I want to. I can't do it. And then the miracle happened. So we come to the Seder, Zroa Netuya, the arm. We're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're trying. We're trying our best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we're not as successful. Maybe we're not going to fulfill all the mitzvahs in the exact way that you want or that you expect. But we're sticking out our hand. We're trying. And he points out that Zroa, Zayin, Resh, Vav, Ayin are the same letters as Ozer, which means help. Is that when we use our Zroa, we stick our hand out to try, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ozer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us like he helped Bas Paro. And that could be an added reason for the Zroa, which I found to be very interesting. Okay, Dvar Torah number 3. We know we sing the Simanim. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, we've spoken a lot about that over the years. I saw a question asked by the Haggadah Rav Elie Baruch Finkel, a new Haggadah that was put out this year, the great Magid Shir, the Mir. passed away a few years ago. In the end of Maggid, we start Hallel, right? We have the first two paragraphs of Hallel, and then we break. We have Rachza, Mosi, Matzah, Maror, Korach, Shulchan Aruch, Tzafun, Barach, and then Hallel. So he asks, why is it that in the Simanim, we only have a simon for Hallel after the meal, the end of Hallel, and we don't reference the beginning of Hallel in one of the Simanim? So why can't it be Kadesh Ruchas, Karpas Yachas, Magid, Hallel, Rachza, Motzi, Matzah, Maror, Korach, Shulchan Aruch, Tzafun, Barach, Hallel again? Why we only, it's almost like we're starting Hallel in the middle of Hallel. But Hallel, the beginning, is also part of the Seder. So why is there no simon for that Hallel? And he explains that Hallel is not being said because of Hallel. He brings proofs from Gemara that Hallel is part and parcel of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just telling the story, it's to express our gratitude. It's to sing song and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Hallel, you're right, it's Hallel, but we're not saying that Hallel as Hallel. We're saying that Hallel as Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. One of his proofs is that the Gemara in Psachim, the well-known Gemara that says that Lechem Oni is Lechem She'onin Alav Dvarim Harbe. Lechem Oni, the bread of affliction, which is also from the word One, to answer, to speak. It's bread that we speak over. That's how we have Matzah Mar Munachim Lefanecha. So Rashi writes in that Gemara, what does it mean, She'onin Alav Dvarim Harbe, that we speak about over the Matzah? Rashi says, She'omim Alav is a Hallel, Ve'omim Alav Haggadah. Hallel and Haggadah. Why does it say Hallel? Just Magid, because that Hallel is part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that goes very well with the whole idea of why it's called Magid and the Haggadah. Why is it called Magid or Haggadah? Why is it called Haggadah? Why is it called Haggadah? So what's the simple explanation?
We're telling.
So there are the other words, right? Amira, Dibur, Magid, Sipur, you could use a lot of expressions to say speak, to tell, to teach. Well, I mean, there's so many different expressions you could use. So the Rishonim already says, that Abu Draham and others, it's coming from the Pasuk. What's the Pasuk? V'igadata lebincha bayomahu lemor. V'igadata lebincha. The point of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is to tell the story to your children. The Pasuk says, V'higadata lebincha, that verb, V'higadata magid hagada. But they ask a question, because earlier on in Sefer Shmos, that's in Perek Yud Gimel. In Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis, the Torah tells us, Uloman, Tisaper ba'ozne bincha uben bincha es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. You should tell the story to your children and your grandchildren. So you're right. The pasuk says v'gadat l'bincha, but it also says l'man tisaper ba'oznei bincha. So let it be called Sipur instead of Magid, and instead of it being Haggadah, let it be a Sipur, a story. What's v'gadat? So the Mefarshim point out that in Bikurim, the Torah tells us, "Ubasa el kohen asher yeh bayamim mehem." You should bring the fruits to the kohen. The amarta elav, you should tell him, "Higadati hayom Hashem Elokecha." Higadati hayom. The Yerushalmi and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziah, the Targum Yerushalmi, all who translate the Chumash into Aramaic, translates "Higadati" as "Shavchis Yom Adin," to praise this day. So Haggadah, the verb lehagid, magid, is not just to tell, it's to bring shavach, it's to praise, it's to express gratitude. Hashem svasai tivtach ufi yagid tihilasecha. When we want to speak over the praises of Hashem, that's what Haggadah is. And that goes very well with the previous idea. Haggadah is not just telling over a story. It's not just telling over a story with maskil b'gnus, starting with the negative and messiah b'shvach and ending with the positive. The point, the goal, is to publicize the miracles of Hashem, to praise, to express our extreme gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything we did. And that's Haggadah, Magid, V'higadati Hayom, Hashem Elokecha, Ushvachis. And and to praise. That's idea 3 and 4. The next one is a well-known idea, which many say. I thought I every year think about it, and it's very powerful. Mefarshim point out that the Seder, the Haggadah, Pesach night is replete with conflicting themes and conflicting emotions. Start with karpas. Why do we dip karpas? Dipping is a sign of our chiras. We dip. We have dips. We have a lot of dips. Dips, you can't say, tonight we dip and other nights we don't dip. A dip is a sign of chiras. That's what the chashuv people would do. They would dip, so we dip. But karpas, we all know from when we're little, the letters make up samach perach, the hard work. So you're taking karpas, which represents the avdus, the hard work, and you're dipping it, which represents the chayrus. So within the karpas, there seems to be this contradiction. Even in the Dalet Kosos represent our freedom. Geula, we're celebrating, we're drinking wine. The Shulchan Aruch says the wine is supposed to be red. Why is the wine? Someone asked today, can they use rosé? How red does red have to be? We use red wine. Why red wine? So one explanation is that it's more chashuv. Red wine is more chashuv. The second explanation, Shulchan Aruch says, is to remind us, maybe it's the Mishnah Berurah. No, it's the Shulchan Aruch. No, it's the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says why we use red wine? To remind us of the blood. The blood that was spilled when Paro shechted the Jewish children. So in the Yayin, which is all about Geula, which is about Simcha, in Simcha, Basar V'Yayin, Geula, Cherus, V'Otzesi, V'Itzalti, V'Galti, V'Lakachti, we're hinting to the blood of the Jewish children who were killed. So within the Yayin, there's this contradiction, conflicting emotions. Matzah itself. On the one hand, Matzah is the Cherus. We left, it's our freedom. At the same time, Matzah is called Lechem Oni. It reminds us of we were poor. We had nothing to eat. This is what they fed us, so we would stay full. Lechem Oni. Matzah also, and there's so many examples of this. Kittel. Some say the kittel is to remind us of the Yom HaMisa. After 120, we'll be in a kittel. Others say kittel, we're like the Kohen Gadol, who's Nichnas Lefnayo Lefnim, the Kohen Gadol during the Voda. Well, which one is it? And the Mefarshim point out that there are different ways to say this. The explanation I saw in the name of the Altar of Kelm, Simcha Zissel of Broidy, he says that any simcha we have is so much more appreciated when we recognize the pain that came before it. We appreciate simcha when we didn't always have what we have. You see this a lot. You see this a lot with Bali Tshuva. Their joy in a mitzvah, in learning Torah, most of the time is far superior than people who grew up with it. They don't always have it. They appreciate it. Rav Matasyahu Salman writes that's why you see a lot of Holocaust survivors, when they're at a simcha, they'll speak, they'll tell over a lot of the stories of what they endured in the Holocaust. What is that again? Is that the Jewish guilt, the Jewish pain? We always have to remember the pain. No, it's now that they went through that, and now that they're experiencing the simcha is appreciated so much more. So Rav Matasyahu Salman, the author of Kelm, says that's the idea. That's the idea of maschil begunus umesayim b'shvach. When we think about where we were and where we are now, it the whole thing becomes worth it when we got to that point. And I think very much the Seder night is not just the geula of Klal Yisrael, but it's our own geula, our personal geula as well. And we could take some time to think about the challenges, the difficulties, whether it's in every person with their difficulty. Now we're sitting at the table, we're enjoying whatever we have to enjoy in life, and for most of us it probably wasn't always, there was a point where it wasn't always like that. We could recognize how much greater that simcha is. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a shla that he would kiss the maror. Would kiss the maror. Now, kissing the matzah, I understand. We kiss the Sefer Torah. We kiss tefillin. We kiss tzitzits. We kiss mitzvos. We kiss mitzvos. I read Shlomo Karbach would kiss every food item that came in shalach manos. I don't know if that means every popcorn kernel in the bag of popcorn. But every package, we kiss mitzvahs. We're excited. We love the mitzvahs. Kiss the maror. Maror represents the bitterness, because when we experience maror, bitterness, the simcha at the end is that much. We have to get out of the maror. But when we have that Yeshua, when we have that geula, that salvation, that redemption, we can appreciate it that much more. That might explain. It's one way of explaining these conflicting emotions. I saw a really nice idea, which I don't necessarily recommend people holding to, as you'll see in a minute, or keeping, but I thought it was very nice. The Talmud Rebbe, he says that there's a minhag of the Belzer Rebbe, of Aaron of Belz, that at a bar mitzvah, he would tell the bar mitzvah boy to be the one to bench halakos, right? Usually at a bar mitzvah, they're gonna bench on a cup of wine, grape juice, to bench, and drink the entire cup. He would tell him, don't rely on drinking rov kos. Right? The halacha is, you don't have to drink the whole cup. You drink the majority, most of the cup. But he would tell the bar mitzvah boy, you at your bar mitzvah, drink the whole cup. Why? This is your first mitzvah, or one of your first mitzvahs. Start your life of mitzvahs with the lechachila, with the ideal. Don't be yotzei b'dieved with the majority of the cup. That's what Rav Aaron of Belz would tell bar mitzvah boys. The Talmud Rebbe quotes a story, and I've said this over at the last Shabbat Brachos I was at, that the Aderet was Rabbi Eliyahu David Rabinowitz Teumim. The Aderet was a Rav in Panovich and a Rav in Mir, and he immigrated to Israel in 1901 to become the assistant to Rav Shmuel Salant, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Assistant rabbi is not a new thing. 1901, he comes, the Rabbanim, the Talmidei Chachamim in Europe were much bigger than in Eretz Yisrael, and he came in 1901 to be the assistant for Rav Shmuel Salant. Soon after he arrived, he was able to convince his son-in-law, named Rav Cook, to follow him and come to Israel to be the chief rabbi of Yaffa. What year did Rav Cook come to Israel? I don't remember. It was soon after that. That Deret came in 1901. The day he arrived in Israel, there was a wedding taking place, and they asked him to be Mesader Kiddushin. It was a big deal to have a Talmud Chacham from Europe to be in Eretz Yisrael. They asked him to be Mesader Kiddushin. He was exhausted. I mean, we can't even imagine that, what that journey, that trip must have been like. I mean, it's hard enough now flying 12 hours. They're on the ship. He gets to Israel. He gets to the wedding. He's tired. He's exhausted. He's all over the place. He picks up the cup of wine under the chuppah. I guess back then they didn't have printed cards like they have today to help the people getting a bracha. And he picks up the cup of wine and he says, Baruch atah Hashem l'kinam al-chalam, shahakol ni'eved varo. He immediately realizes his mistake and he says the bracha again, Baruch atah Hashem l'kinam al-chalam, bori priya gefen. And then he says the bracha of Asher Kedushem v'tusav v'tzivanu al-harayo. He says the bracha on the Seder Kedushin. Afterwards, though if it was in Israel, it was probably right then and there, they attacked him. They said, the halacha is that if you say shahakol accidentally on any food, you're yotzei. Right? On bread, aren't you say shahakol? On bread, on grape juice, on a fruit, on mizon, any food, you say shahakol, you're yotzei. So why do you make a new bracha? Your bracha might even be a bracha levatala. You said a shahakol, you're yotzei. Why do you make another bracha? So that Deret said as follows. The bracha of Kiddushin is really whose bracha? Who's getting married? The chasen. Why does the Mesader Kiddushin make the bracha? So the Mefarshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch explain, because you might have a chasen who doesn't know the bracha. Isn't it bracha? So the Mesader Kiddushin is the shliach for the chasen. He says, this chasen is starting off his married life. Do you think he wants to start his life with the bidyeved of your yotzei with shahakol? He sent me as a shliach to fulfill the mitzvah in the most lechachila way. There's no way he sent me as a shliach on a bidyeved to start his marriage. The Talmud Rebbe says, Seder night, and we'll develop this a little bit more later if we have time, Seder night, it's our wedding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's seven brachos at the Seder, which the Abu Draham says is like the Sheva brachos. We know that the Gemara says a person eats matzah on Erev Pesach, it's like being with his kala before the wedding, which means the matzah is the kala. The Seder night is our marriage with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You want to get it off on the right foot. You don't want to be yotze with a bidiyeved. So the Torah Rebbe says, based on the bar mitzvah boy and the story with the aderet, a person should try to drink not rov kos, but try to drink the whole cup to not be yotze with this bidiyeved, to try to fulfill the mitzvah on Seder night in the most lichachila way. Now, if you do that, you could have a very bad stomachache or get drunk. So I'm not, this is not a psak. This is not a psak halacha. It depends how big the kiddush cup is also, and what percent that wine you're drinking is at the Seder. But I thought that was a very nice idea, more al derech drush than in halacha. Okay. I saw a very nice idea. Halach v'anya. We'll get to Magid. Halach v'anya is in Aramaic. Why is halach v'anya in Aramaic? So there's so many explanations. The Rishonim already say, the Kolbo says because we want the women and children to understand. And that was the language they spoke. They knew Aramaic better than they knew Hebrew. Okay, but then why do you stop Aramaic? You should probably do the whole thing in Aramaic. That's one explanation with the difficulty. The Abu Draham explains that the reason we do it in Aramaic is because the angels don't understand Aramaic. This is just us and Hashem. We don't want the angels to hear. If they hear, they're going to start telling Kodesh Baruch Hu all of our sins. We want to kind of keep it hush-hush. I saw Rav Zilberstein has a Haggadah called Niflosecha Asicha, and he says something very nice. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that's talking about Bikur Cholim. And the Gemara describes what Rabbi Yehuda would say to the sick individuals he would visit in the hospital, and he would speak to them in Aramaic. And the Gemara asks, Hechi Avad Hachi, had Rabbi Yehuda speak Aramaic in the Bikur Cholim when he was davening for them? Rabbi Yehuda himself says, Lo'olam, al yishal adam tracha b'lashon arami. A person should not daven, should not ask requests from Hashem in Aramaic. So why was he visiting the sick and davening for them and speaking Aramaic? So the Gemara says, Shiny Yichola, a chola is different, the Shechina imo. The Shechina is there with the chola. When there's a person who's ill, the Shechina is with him. The Gemara has psukim about this. The Shechina is lamal miroshosav shel chola. The Shechina is there with the person. And when the Shechina is there, there's no problem of speaking Aramaic because we don't need the angels. So Rav Zilberstein says, Seder night, the Shechina is here. We can speak Aramaic. We don't need the Malachim. We have the ability to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu one-on-one without any intermediary because of the fact that the angels are with us. And maybe that's why it's in Aramaic. Okay, let me share with you a few insights related to Rabbi Akiva. I think Rabbi Akiva plays a prominent role at the Seder. The main basis of this, I think I said over last year, but we're gonna, if you were there, we'll add on a few points. This is a collector's item. This is delicious. You could have this for dessert at the Seder. It's so good it might be chametz actually. Maisa, Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shaya Mesubin, B'Bnei Brak. We're in the beginning of Magid, if you want to look along. Maisa, Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shaya Mesubin, B'Bnei Brak. These five great Tanaim were Mesubin, having Haseba, a Seder, presumably, in B'Nei Brak. Vayu Mesaprin, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kol Osor Laila. They were telling the story the whole night. The Farshim ask a lot of questions on this. Number one, why is this here? You found five rabbis who were having a Seder. Were these the only five rabbis in our history to have a Seder? I mean, in every Jewish city, every single year, since this started, they're having Seder. So why do we have this here? So the simple explanation is because we just said afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zakenim, kulanu yodim es haTorah. Even if everyone is a chacham and knowledgeable and old and wise and knows all the Torah, still mitzvah leinu l'saper es yitzias Mitzrayim. So I'll prove it to you. That's one explanation. Okay, very nice. There's a second explanation which we've said in the past. This is the chida. The chida says that each of these tanaim, each of these scholars, There was a reason to think why they should not have to say the Haggadah and tell over the story. What are those reasons? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Tarfon were Kohanim. Someone who knows Kol Torah Kula can tell you that you go through Shas, I'm trusting the Chida on this, he quotes the Gemaras, that those three were Kohanim. Did the Kohanim work in Mitzrayim? Why do they have to tell over the story? Avadim Hayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim? No, they weren't. Rabbi Shua was a Levi. And Rabbi Kiva came from Gerim, from converts. So there's a strong reason to say that none of them have to tell the story. They weren't involved. They weren't persecuted. They weren't part of the Avdus. They weren't part of the Avadim Hayinu. So maybe they don't have to. And the Chidah says, V'chol HaMarbel HaSaper, V'chol is come as Kohanim, Levim, V'gerim, Vav, Chaf, Laman, V'chol, Kol HaMarbel HaSaper, everyone, even Kohanim, Levim, and Gerim should tell over the story. That's the Chidah. But they point out something very difficult. These five Tanaim were in Bnei Brak. Who lived in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva. So they're having the Seder, presumably, in Bnei Brak with Rabbi Akiva. Now, why is that interesting? Because, first of all, Rabbi Akiva was a student of Rabbi Eliezer. The Rebbe goes to the student? Doesn't sound so likely that the Rebbe would go to the student. So, I mean, they even ask, why were they together? Why weren't their families? That's also another question, which I'm not really going to know. I don't think I'll answer that one. Why was Rabbi Eliezer by his student Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak? The Gemara says a student is not allowed to do Hesseba in front of his Rebbe. So Rabbi Akiva's Mesubin in front of his Rebbe? Unlikely. More than that, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lud. The Gemara tells in Sukkah that Rabbi Eliezer would praise those who did not leave their town on Yontif. Mishabeach ani es ha'atzlanim. I would praise the, so to speak, lazy ones, she'en yotzin mibateyam barego, who don't leave their house on Yom Tov. Stay home with your family. So Rabbi Eliezer lived in Lod. I don't think he could walk, right? Lod to Bnei Brak. He lived in Lod. He held, his opinion was, you shouldn't leave on Yom Tov. Yet, he's at the Seder with his student, Rabbi Akiva. How does this make sense? So the Sfasemeh says, this wasn't talking about Pesach night. Just fulfilling the mitzvah of there's always a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Very difficult. First of all, it says Oso Alayla, and second of all, this is in this Pesach night. It's in the Seder. So what's going on over here? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a Haggadah, and he says this idea. I've seen this idea in maybe four or five Haggadahs since then, who don't attribute it to the Aruch HaShulchan. They came to it on their own. Rav Golvich came out with Haggadah last year. I thank Rav Shanzer for giving me the Haggadah as a gift. Rav Golvich says this idea. I don't think he quotes Aruch HaShulchan. I saw this in a couple of Haggadahs, the most beautiful idea. What do we know about Rabbi Akiva? We know a lot about Rabbi Akiva. That's not a fair question to ask. There's the well-known Gemara at the end of Makos about Rabbi Akiva. If you've ever been to a Siyum at Makos, you've heard this Gemara. What does the Gemara tell us? They were walking a bunch of Tanaim. Who is it? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Yeshua are on this list at this with Rabbi Akiva ben Ebrak, and they're walking with Rabbi Akiva, and they get to the Makom HaMikdash, and they tore Kriya, the Gemara tells us, and when they got the Har HaBayis, they saw, we know this Gemara, they saw a fox walking in, they walk out of the base, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what did they do? They cried. And who was there? Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva do? He laughed. They said, why are you laughing? And he said, why are you crying? They said, the Torah tells us, Azar HaKariv Yumas, if a non-Kohen goes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he dies. And now there's a fox is running through the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we're not going to, I mean, the most a tragic, tragic scene. They're crying. This is right at the Churban HaBayis. They said, why are you laughing? So he goes on to explain that there was the Nevuah of Zechariah and the Nevuah of Uriah. The Nevuah of Uriah talks about the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, but the Nevuah of Zechariah is Od Yeshu Zekenim Zekenos Berchovos Yerushalayim. There's going to be a time where the children are running around all over Yerushalayim. It's going to be beautiful. So Rabbi Akiva says, until this Nevuah was fulfilled, the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, I was worried if Yerushalayim would ever be properly rebuilt. But now that I see that the first Nevuah is fulfilled, that the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed, I know, I have the belief, the emuna, that better days are yet to come. And the Tanaim, the friends of Rabbi Akiva, said, Akiva nichamtanu, you comfort us. The Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Goldberg and many others say that this happened the first year after the Chorban. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. They couldn't bring themselves to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. They are broken. They can't, so to speak, put their happy face on. They can't rejoice. They can't recline. They can't drink yayin and celebrate the Geula when the smell of the Beis HaMikdash burning was still there. So you know what they did? There was only one person. This is such a beautiful pshat. There was only one person who would be able to help them properly put things in perspective and rejoice, and that one person was Rabbi Akiva. So they traveled. Rabbi Eliezer made an exception, and they traveled. They went to the Talmud, Rabbi Akiva, to be able to properly experience the geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even on the heels of the Chorban. And I had said this over last year, and I saw that in the Haggadah of Eli Baruch Finkel. He adds a beautiful inference. And I also never thought, I thought about this question, but I never had an insight. It says, Maisa Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Zaira, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shayu Misubin Bibnei Brak. Why does it say Shayu Misubin Bibnei Brak? What should it say? They're having a Seder. When you, Michael, I'm going to ask you, who are you having Misubin with? Oh, last night I was Misubin with the Clarers and the Kaplans and the Brood. No, we had Seder. Yeah, of course, you're at the Seder. I know that you're going to recline. So why does it say, Shayu Misubin Bibnei Brak? They were having Seder. Of course they were doing Heseba, reclining. So Rav Elie Baruch Finkel, based on this idea, says it's very nice. Their main challenge was, how can we do Heseba? How can we recline? How can we be comfortable and celebrate like kings? Chayrus. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So they're going to Rabbi Akiva to learn how to feel chayrus, how to do haseba, how to properly feel free and comfortable and enjoy the night, haseba. So they were misubin in Bnei Brak based on that idea, which I think was really a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful idea. In light of this, there's another idea with this Rabbi Akiva Gemara that I saw in Rav Kluger's Haggadah. If you skip ahead, I want you to look inside, if that's okay, all the way at the end of Magid. At the end of Magid, we recite a bracha. Asher ge'alanu. It's after the two paragraphs of Hallel, the very last thing, the bracha, Borei Pri HaGefen, on the second cup, we recite a bracha. The Gemara, I'll give you a minute to find it, the Gemara tells us that we say a bracha of Asher Ge'alanu V'Ga'alas Avoseinu Mitzrayim. Bracha that God redeemed us and redeemed our fathers, our ancestors from Egypt. Then the Gemara asks, what's the end of the bracha? So Ritarfon just said, Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. That was it. You stop there. The Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva added on what we say, which is, Cain, sorry, the Gemara says, Asher Galon Gal Yisrael Mitzrayim, V'giyano Alay Lazeh, Lechol Bo Matzar Mar. Period. Hashem redeemed us, redeemed our ancestors, and brought us to this night to eat Matzar Mar. The Gemara, the Mishnah, says that Rabbi Kiva adds on, Cain Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Yagienu l'Moadim v'Leregalim Acherim Habayim l'Karseinu l'Shalom. Rabbi Kiva adds on this prayer of Sotu Hashem Yagienu should bring us to more Yamim Tovim and other Regalim. Smeichem b'Vinyan Yirecha v'Sasim b'Vodasecha. We should rejoice in this building of the Beis HaMikdash and doing the Avodah once again. Menochal Sham in Ezvachim and Apsachim. It's Rabbi Kiva. Isn't it interesting? It's the Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbi Kiva who even in times of Churban was able to dream, to hope, to have the right perspective. He's the one that adds on to this bracha, this tefillah, that we should once again see a Beis HaMikdash. When we read the Haggadah, we don't realize it's Rabbi Akiva. That's coming from Rabbi Akiva, which goes very well with Rabbi Akiva and his perspective.
How do we know it's Rabbi?
The Mishnah Psachim. In Kuf Tes Zayin. Rabbi Tarfon V'loya Chosein, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kein Hashem Lokeinu V'lokei Hosein, Yagenu M'wadim V'rgal V'chein, Rabban. Word for word, what's in this bracha is Rabbi Akiva. So in light of that other idea in the Gemara Makos, it's very beautiful that the Seder's is Rabbi Akiva Rekiva's perspective. The Gemara in Psachim is Kuf Tes Zayin. Amud Beis. Okay, I saw such a beautiful idea that told the Rebbe, and it was very meaningful to me because they say that the Tolna Rebbe is an expert in chinuch habanim, raising children. He has a whole sefer called Torah Sechinuch, which I recently bought as well. Speaks a lot about, it's like the go-to in Eretz Yisrael on children off the derech and raising children in a very loving way. And he says something very nice. If you look, if you go back a little bit, I apologize, to the Arba Banim. Right before the Arba Banim, we have something that is a little bit strange or out of place. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Torah Lamo Yisrael Baruch Hu. What is that doing over here? We haven't had a song since Avodin Hayinu, so we need to throw a song in there. What is that? We talked about Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Harei Kiven Shivim Shana, Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. Then we're going to get to the four sons, which is all about their questions about Yitzias Mitzrayim and about Pesach. Why are we throwing in Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu? Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Hashem, great. You gave us the Torah. Kar Satov. That paragraph, not even a paragraph, it could have been anywhere in the Haggadah. Why is it here? So some explain, Rav Soloveitchik explained, and Rav Yeruchim Olshan quotes this in the name of Isser Zalman Meltzer as well. So you have many people explain it's like a new Birchas HaTorah. We're about to enter into the part of the Haggadah with so many psukim. It's a different type of Talmud Torah. The Seder is so much about the God of Labincha, teaching our children and our grandchildren, transmitting the Torah. So for some reason, we need a new Birchas HaTorah. Why wasn't the Birchas HaTorah in the morning good enough for now? I'm not sure exactly. That's the way they explain. The Tolna Rebbe says something very different. The Tolna Rebbe says, if any parent wants to be able to sit at a table with all four types of sons, that means a parent is sitting at a table with a Ben Rasha, a She'eno Yodei Alishol. All four, the only way a parent could properly parent all those types of children, if it starts with the perspective of Baruch HaMakom. If a parent recognizes that every child is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, If we could start with that gratitude, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, he's focusing on the Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, and not as much on the Torah, but I'll get to that in a minute. If we start and recognize, Kosh Baruch Hu, you gave me a child. Maybe the child is not the way I would have hoped and I davened for and I want, but it's a gift from you, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then we're able to sit at a table with the Daud, the Arba Bonim, even with a Ben Chacham, a Ben Rasha, a Tam, and Sheino De'Elshal. And he says, and if a parent has that Akarsa Tov to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and channels it to his children, then it will lead to a Baruch Shanasan Torah Le'am Yisrael, that the children could potentially and hopefully come back to the parents. It starts with the Hakarsa Tov, which is the only way that we could raise or get along with and shower the love that our children need, regardless of where they are, is starting with that Baruch HaMakom. We'll share two or three more ideas. A very nice idea that Rav Druk quotes from the Sfas Emes. If you go to Vehisha Amda, the next page or so, depending on the Haggadah you're using. The Sfas Emes, this is Al-Derek Drush, but I thought it was great. Vehisha Amda al-Vaseinu v'lanu, we've spoken in the past about what the Vehi is. Shalo Echad Bilvar Amad Aleinu L'chaloseinu. The simple understanding is, it wasn't just one person. It's been countless, too many enemies have stood up to destroy us. The Sfas Emes says that's not what it means. You know what's led to our chaloseinu? You know what's led to our destruction? Shalo echad bilvad. We're not one. We're not united. We're not echad. If Klal Yisrael could only be, and we're seeing that today in the news, when we're not echad bilvad, we're not one. We're not one people. Then lechaloseinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu can handle all of our sins and all of our problems and our challenges. But a parent sees his children fighting, they can't stand that. It's the one thing every parent, it's the hardest thing to deal with when the children are fighting. Shalo echad bilvad. When it's shalo echad bilvad, then it's amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. We have to be united. The Mefarshim say this is why in Dayenu, we could say, if you brought us to Har Sinai, you didn't give us the Torah, Dayenu, because we got to Har Sinai. What do we have at Har Sinai? Famously, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. They were one. Ki Ish Echad, B'Lev Echad. If we're united, we're one. I don't want to say even without the Torah, because we can't live without the Torah. But when there's Achdus in Klal Yisrael could survive. When it's Shalo Echad Bilvad, when we're not one, then it's Amar Aleinu L'chaloseinu. I thought that was a very beautiful idea. Two more ideas. If you go on a little bit, to when we go through all the psukim, that's the part that usually people just fly through, you know. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Right, that's when things started to turn around, when we called out. Vayhi bayam mehem, vayamas melach mitrayim, vayayanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. Klal Yisrael was broken from the work. Vayizaku, and they called out. Vatal shav asam el ha'alokim min ha'avoda. And their cries reached the heavens. Vatal la'alot shav asam el ha'alokim Min HaAvoda. There were two, Klal Yisrael was kind of split into two groups in Egypt, in Mitzrayim. There were those who worked, and Shevet Levi didn't have to work. Shevet Levi had it pretty good. They weren't part of the Avos. Why Paro left all that work on the table and didn't enslave them, that's a question for another time. So I saw, I don't remember where I saw this, that there were two distinct cries and prayers in Mitzrayim. There was the pain, the Tal Shavasam, we're broken. Hashem, we can't do this anymore. We're in so much pain. And there were the cries of Shevet Levi, which were cries of Avodas Hashem. They were learning, they were growing, they were engaged in regular Avodas Hashem. Things were comfortable for them. Vatal Shavasam Helokim Min HaAvoda. What reached the heavens was not the Avoda, not the Avodas Hashem, it was the Shavasam of pain. When a Jew calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Or HaChaim on that pasuk in the Torah says, they didn't even cry out, save me. They just cry out to Hashem. It's like sometimes our children are crying, like, why are you crying? They can't even explain. I'm not comparing why they're crying to why Klai Yisrael was crying. But sometimes the cry, the call out to Hashem is just, ah, Hashem! Klai Yisrael, Or HaChaim explains. They just called out because they were suffering. That crying out, that calling out, that sa'aka is what was vata'al yoser min ha'avoda, more than even the avodas Hashem. The tefillah, which helped them, was a tefillah of hopelessness. And sometimes we don't know a way out. Klai Yisrael was ready to give up. They basically did give up. But they cried out. And sometimes we don't even know what to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't know how to articulate our thoughts. It's just tears of pain. And that is so precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we think there's nothing. A friend told me a story today. I didn't have a chance to... I looked online. It seems like the story is true, but I didn't really verify it. That Ibn Ezra traveled to go meet the Rambam. I don't know if anyone's heard this. He wanted to meet the Rambam, and he traveled to Egypt to meet the Rambam. He gets to the Rambam, and before they speak, the Rambam puts him in a cellar in the basement for 7 days. It's like, I traveled all the way here to go visit, to talk to this Rambam. Well, he comes out, and the Rambam starts talking to him, and he says to the Rambam, what did you do? So the Rambam said, I saw, in your, you know, Rambam was a doctor, I saw in your eyes, we should maybe get Moshe Schneider or Barry Shands here. I saw in your eyes that there were worms in your eyes that were very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. And the only way to get them out was to have you cry. So he says, why don't you tell it to me when I came? And I would have cried. He goes, those tears aren't the tears we're looking for. To really cry is when you don't know. You don't know what's going on. You don't know a way out. You have no idea why you're in that situation, why you're in that predicament. One version of the story says that they collected the tears and he showed him the worms and the tears. I don't know. Again, I didn't have a chance to verify the story. A friend of mine, a colleague in JC, told me this story today. But the tears, when we don't think there's a way out. We don't know what's happening. We don't even know how to articulate or express to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we want. Those are tears that can accomplish, and that's the Vital Shavasam El HaElokim Min HaAvoda. Those cries and tears are even greater than the Avoda. That's a beautiful notion. The last one I'll share tonight is in Dayenu. We start Dayenu with Kama. We'll start with the introductory phrase and then the concluding phrase. Kama Ma'alos Tovos Lamakom Aleinu. What's Ma'alos? Kama Hodos. Kama, I don't know, Dvarim Tovim. Kama Matanos. A Ma'ala is also a step. Right, we say in Chumash, "Lo sale b'malos amizbechi," to go up. There's steps. These are not just things to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're steps or levels to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we realize all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us, those are ways to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mefarshim point out that there are 15 steps over here. There are also 15 steps in the Beis Hamikdash that went from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael. There's also 15 steps to the Seder, 15 Simanim and Kadesh Rechatz. And there are 15 Shira Malises, and there's 15 praises in Yishtabach that Shlomo HaMelech sang before building the Beis Mashir, Ushvacha, Halal, Vizimra, Oz, Memshala, Netzach, Gedula, Tila, Seres, Kedusha, Malchus, Brachos, Veldos. Okay, I forgot one. But there's 15. You go take a look. It's 15. These are steps, praises, ways of getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's ma'alos. They're steps. They're ways to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then at the end, we say al achas kama v'chama tova chafula u'mechupela eslamakam aleinu. I was always bothered by it. It seems very, very wordy and very repetitive. Al achas kama v'chama, how much more so? Tova, goodness, kefula, doubled, mechupelas, tripled. What? So the Aruch HaShulchan says something very beautiful. You take meat and you put it in the pot. And then you throw in vegetables. So do you just have more food in the pot? You have meat, you have your roast, and you have your vegetables? No, the meat is that much better now, because it was infused with the taste of the vegetables, and the meat infuses the vegetables with taste. Each thing that's in that pot enhances the other. It's not just now five different items in a pot, so there's more food. It's all better. So that's what it means. Alachas tova, alachas kama kama tova kafula and mechupelas. Each one, while it does stand on its own, when they're together, it adds and enhances and glorifies everything else. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing is in a vacuum. Every chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is a way for us to get closer to Him. And when we put some of them together, each one enhances and amplifies the other. These are 15... Yeah. And these are 15 steps. Not just 15 things that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but 15 steps. Shir, Uslacha, Halal, Zimra, 15 ways to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 15 steps to the Beis HaMikdash, 15 Shir HaMaaloses, 15 praises that allowed Shlomo HaMelech to build the Beis HaMikdash. And if we do that, then we get much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll end, Rav Kluger says something very beautiful also. 15 is also Yud-Hei. Yud-Hei. Where do we have the Yud-Hei? The well-known Gemara in Sota, which is quoted at probably 80% of Sheva Brachos or Ufrifs that you've been to. The Gemara says, Ish v'isha, man and woman, Zachu, if they're Zocha, Shechina b'neihem. Because what's the letter with Ish and Isha? Alshin and Alshin is the same. There's the Yud and the Hey, which represents the Shechina. And the Gemara says, if you're not Zocha, Chas v'shalom, so all you have left is Alf and Shin, Ish, and a fire can consume. Ish v'isha, if they're Zocha, there's the Yud and the Hey. Yud Hey, 15. The 15 steps are also 15 ways to feel our marriage, so to speak, with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we referenced earlier. These are all steps, not just steps to get closer to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but steps to experience that marriage. And if we do that, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such a simcha from us, because the Mefarshim, I said I was going to close, but it's all part of the same. We say, Kama Malos Lamakom. Did I say that right? Kama malos lamakom aleinu. Kama malos lamakom means what? How many malos, steps, or attributes to Hashem? What should it say? Me makom. The malos are from us to Him or from Him to us. Kama malos tovos me hamakom aleinu. They came from Hashem. It also brings Hashem somewhat simcha. The Sfasema says, the joy, the nachas ruach, the simcha, the oneg, if you could say such a thing, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels from us is also the same as we feel from Him. So these are steps for us to get close to Him, but it's also steps to have the yud and the hey, the isha, to have that marriage. And not only do we gain from it, but kaviyachol, if you could say such a thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an oneg from that as well. And hopefully we could experience that. We should have the perspective of Rabbi Kiva throughout our life to keep our eye on the prize and to realize that what's coming, to be able to handle conflicting emotions that the Mefarshim point out at the Seder, and conflicting, the good is often laced with not good, and sometimes what seems not good is or not sometimes, all the time, it's really good. We don't see it, and that plays itself out so often in the Seder. And hopefully, we'll be able to experience that. We'll be able to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll be blessed with the Chag Kasher V'Sameach.